Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hour number two here, WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, and you at 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a minute. That was Gerard Mayo talking about the plan for Drake May and how it's not been a secret. Nothing really seems to be a secret with this guy. Like, he's very transparent. He's kind of an open book, it seems like, especially as they continue to impress on the football field. I think that's going to get more and more apparent here that this guy doesn't have a whole lot of secrets. He doesn't have a lot of things he keeps very close to the vest. You ask him a question, he'll answer it. He'll think about it, and then he'll say, I don't know if I answered that question completely. Like, he was doing that today, and I was watching him going, man, this is very different. This is very different from the way things used to be. He answered an entire question. He stopped and he goes, did I answer the question? It's like, just imagine Belichick even having that thought, let alone saying it. Like, it's impossible to conceive of that. But
can you imagine Belichick caring whether he answered
exactly
the question?
I mean, the thought wouldn't even enter his mind. How do you think the Drake May plan is going so far? It's hard to really know, but we know that he's getting the extra reps. We know that they're treating him differently from most backups here. How would you grade its progress so far, Andy?
I mean, I don't know what you could really base that on. Incomplete, not applicable, whatever. But I will say, you gave your backup 30% of the reps, which is more than normal, the head coach admits, and you won the football game. So did the offense look out of sorts? Did Jacoby Brissett look ill-prepared? I would say no. If there was an ill-prepared nature to it, it was Alex Van Pelt admitting there were some things he wanted on his play sheet that he didn't have that he was going to fix this week. But I don't know that that has anything to do with the plan for Drake May. The one thing that just jumped out to me, because we talked about this, Evan Washburn had this report, it became clear, and then in addition to this, the way they're treating him when he's the scout team quarterback, not telling him what the defense is doing, he's not just showing a play, he's actually competing on a play on scout team. So I go back to this all the time, because this is my point of reference, is the original Bledsoe Brady, when Bill said, for the foreseeable future, Tom Brady's the quarterback because you can't get two quarterbacks ready. We did a disservice to Tom Brady when he lost to the Rams, right? Remember that?
Yes.
2001. Well, you probably might not remember it, but you've heard of it, the quotes. I don't know how closely you followed it at the time, but that makes me think. That week, when they did a disservice to Tom Brady, the starter, I wonder how many reps Drew Bledsoe got. For comparison, did he get 30% of the reps? Was it a 50-50 split? Was it 60-40? I can't imagine it was 50-50. So it's got, let's say it's at least 60-40.
That would have been in the dynasty if it was 50-50, I think.
Right. So it's getting closer to the 70-30 you're giving, and we're saying, well, the passing game, I wonder if it can do its job if it needs to. Well, I don't know. Is it getting the reps it needs to prepare for Jacoby Brissett? And do you care? Because the answer might be, I don't care. We're trying to appease two goals here at the same time. But the next thing that I thought of is, well, if that guy's the better player, because you said that, if that guy is getting a decent amount of reps and we know he's the better passer, When do we start to see maybe opportunities for packages or Drake May coming in late in game? Because he's not ill-prepared.
Right.
He's getting 30% of the – he's getting a third of the reps. He's
it's,
not that
And it's
far.
Also not like Jacoby Brissett is Lamar – or Taysom Hill or somebody who you got running around out there, right. who that's his main thing, and then you bring Drake May in the pack. Like, it's not – You know what I mean? Like, you'd be bringing in a quarterback to do what the first quarterback's doing, just better. Like, right. You know, that's all it would really be.
So I just wonder, the 30%, does that leave the door open for sooner rather than later, not starting Drake May, but could we see spurts of Drake May, packages, you know, situations? I don't know why you're making that face.
I didn't say a word.
You turn everything into...
I didn't say spurts of Drake May. That was you, Andy. That was not me, all right? So don't blame me for that.
Spurts of Drake May's play, not spurts from Drake May.
Whatever.
Spurts of his play.
You should make that clear next time.
Okay. Do you agree? Do you, like, 30% of the reps, is that enough to start thinking about, well, this guy's kind of ready for some of the plays. He's getting enough reps in practice that he could be ready, and I don't even know how those are divvied up. Maybe he's getting 30% reps in the passing portion of practice, more so than just handing off to Ramondre Stevens. And this intrigues me.
It intrigues me, too. I don't think that they're going to start suddenly giving him, the ball's on the 35-yard line, and they bring in a package for Drake May. Like, I would imagine that it's going to start in blowouts, maybe. You know, like, they're up, you know, let's hope here that they're up a lot at the end of a game. You know,
oh,
like,
you meant them blowing somebody out?
Or getting blown out either way. I mean, we saw Tyrod Taylor in that Jets game, so, like, you know, we might see something like that. I doubt they're going to be blowing people out this year, but you never know. Stranger things have happened. At any rate, I'd imagine before you see him in a package like that, you'd see him in garbage time, right? Like, that's generally when the backup gets their first taste of the big leagues outside of injuries or other things like that. So that's
but
sort
the backup
of what I
doesn't
imagine.
Usually get the reps to
that's
be prepared.
True. That's
so
true.
You should feel better about your backup being ready to go, and your backup has different skills than your starter, has different ability, has different.
Agreed.
So I just wonder if that seeps its way almost just naturally. Let's just say Jacoby Brissett still wins this week and they go 2-0. But you're seeing on the practice field, Drake May looks pretty good. He looks pretty comfortable. Boy, he does make some throws that really make you realize why we took him with the number 3 overall pick in the mm-hmm. draft. He doesn't look overwhelmed by any of this. He's prepared for 2 weeks. Why don't we put him in there?
I mean,
why don't we give him a series?
You're singing my song right now, Andy, but the question is, if they keep winning, do they keep giving him these reps? Like, if Jacoby Brissett is able to go out there and win games with this team... Mm. And they know that they're going to have to eventually expand the passing game. Let's assume they win similar to how they won in week one this week, if they even win at all, which I don't think they will, but just hypothetically here. Then do you continue with it? Do you continue down this road? Or
yes.
Do you eventually say, okay, we're better than we thought we were. We're sticking with Brissett, and we need to start giving him all the reps now because this is what our offense is going to be.
So everybody's worried about stunting the growth of Drake May. That's why you couldn't play him, because the offensive line stinks. And
they're not that worried about it. I mean, they're actively doing it.
No. But I'm saying everybody didn't want to play him because they thought it could stunt his growth if he wasn't ready.
Right.
You don't think it would stunt his growth if you give him 30% of the reps in the first 3 weeks of practice and then decide, oh, by the way, now you're going back to 5% of the reps? That stunts his growth.
It might, but if you're considering a playoff run here, if that's something that they consider to be actively on the table, then that's a consideration you have to make.
Are pigs flying out of his bum too?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because, I mean, we're considering a playoff run now?
Yeah, we are considering a playoff run. The Dolphins just lost their quarterback, and the Jets may not be anything. I mean, this is the way they have to start thinking about these things. If they go to 3-0, right? If they go to 3-0, they have to start
considering.
They're
not 2-0 yet.
I know, Andy. I'm saying
that was a quick jump to 3.
I'm saying,
holy
hypothetically,
crap.
If they get to 3-0, I don't think they're going to even win this weekend. But hypothetically, if they do, that's the way they have to start thinking about it, right? I mean, you can't tell me that a 3-0 team is going to be really that much more concerned about their backup quarterback. They have to start thinking about winning games going forward, not about developing their backup. That's not what the priority should be at that point, I don't think.
Yeah. You ever hear it, ain't broke, don't fix it? If I'm 3-0, why am I going to change things? And I just beat the Jets, a good defense with a good offense, so I made enough plays against that team. Why would I change it?
Because you want Jacoby Brissett to be out there getting the lion's share of the reps. This is something you were doing for the benefit of Drake May. Wouldn't you want to benefit now the guy who's proven he can win as a starter? I think that makes more sense, doesn't it?
No, I don't think it does, because they've gone this far, and they think Jacoby Brissett is capable of handling 70% of the reps. They also know that. So if he gets another 10% of the reps, how much better does Jacoby Brissett get? He's freaking year 9. We know what he is. We know what the ceiling is. We know what the floor is. We know he is who he is. a few more reps on the practice field.
So why
the
give him any reps at all then, Andy, if you know what he is? I mean, that's what you do.
You
go out and
ready,
practice, right? Yes.
Because you got to run the plays that – do you think he's not getting a chance to run plays? Like, he's – was he out there at any point this week against the Bengals and he's like, you just called what? I never ran that in practice.
Don't you want to maximize what he's doing in his preparation then, if you know he's going to be the starter going forward and you have no intention of taking
personally.
Him out now? I mean, I know you don't.
You're asking me.
They do.
You're,
they've said that's what their plan is.
No, they have said that their plan what did you
is
notice
to start
the word,
Jacoby Brissett.
Did you notice the word that Gerard Mayo used for the quarterback, where he is?
He uses lots of words. You're going to have
in
to be
the
more
wings.
Specific.
When you have a quarterback in the wings, what's that called? Waiting in the wings. Like, there's an implication there that guy is right. It's like he's looking at the stage from behind the curtain, waiting for his cue to come on stage. He's not in the green room. He's not with his feet up in the back. He's ready. He's waiting in the wings. That's the phrase Gerard Mayo chose to use. He's
fair.
In the wings. Correct?
Yeah, that's what that means.
So they want him to play. Their development plan, whatever it is, and we've learned it. Week one of the preseason, it was he gets one series and then he's out of there. I don't care that there's an opportunity to get reps. Nope, we got a plan. And now we've learned week one of the regular season, it's get 30% of their practice reps, while Jacoby Brissett gets 70%, right? So
right.
They seem to have a definitive plan, and that plan has him in the wings.
If
so why would you
a
ever
quarterback,
pull that?
You know, in the wings.
In the wings. In the wings.
Sure.
Listen, I listen to words. Words have meanings. That
I watch
is a
games. Games and results have meanings too, Andy. And if they go 3-0, then they're going to have to start and stop thinking about
3-0,
a different way of going about this, I think.
I don't understand the. Hey, they're not going 3-0. Like, there is no shot in hell.
I don't think they are either. I'm saying.
There is.
We're
no
talking
shot.
About if the hypothetical of Brissett is successful. If they continue
then
to
why
win
would you change
with Jacoby
it if he's
Brissett.
Successful? He just beat the Jets on Thursday Night Football in a short week, and you're like, you know what we need to do? Change everything we're doing? Why would you change it?
We should
being
give
successful.
Him more reps. We should try and expand the offense. We should try and continue to evolve as an offense. Of course you want to evolve as an offense. Why would you stop and try and stunt? Now you're stunting
Who
Jacoby
said we're
Brissett.
Not evolving as an offense?
I
week
think you would be if you're not giving
one.
Him the full package of reps that no. you would give to a starter. He's
we already
starter.
Know for a fact they've evolved as an offense because they've added the plays that Alex Van Pelt didn't have at his disposal.
Well, we don't know that. We haven't seen him actually do it yet.
Well,
but we'll see.
He added something. He said he wrote something on his call sheet. He's got a deeper call sheet this week, so they've evolved. And you naturally evolve as an offense through the course of a season, right? Because every play you ran in week one is now in your game plan, is available. Every play you run in week two, which is a different game plan for Seattle than Bengals, is at your disposal. Week three, you beat the Jets on a short week. That's at your disposal. You're building up a cache of plays to pull from, of experiences to pull from, as opportunities, game plans to pull from. And if it's working to the tune of 3-0 in your weird hypothetical world that has no shot of coming to fruition, I'm just saying that there is no shot. Zero.
All right, I don't think they're going to either. We're talking about a hypothetical. If they continue to be successful and they surprise people and they do that with Jacoby Brissett as the starting quarterback, that stands to reason then that he's going to say, hey, guys, let's get me doing the full-time starter thing here, and I think he'd have a right to say that.
He'd have a right to say that?
Of course
After
he would.
Week one, he barely has a right to keep the job, in my opinion.
Well,
he made
okay.
some good decisions, but
he didn't
really do anything.
He didn't really do much. You're right about that. And there's a lot of other quarterbacks in the league you can say that about, including guys who won their
yes.
first week, too, and guys who were considered much, much better than Jacoby Brissett. But
none of
them
have the number three pick behind him.
That's
Nobody, because all the
don't.
Other good quarterbacks are playing.
Right. Well, they're not playing all that well, but they are playing. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones here, and we'll start with Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Listen, Andy, Hotkin.
Yes.
We have three quarterbacks, okay? Three.
Right.
Don't ever forget that. We have three quarterbacks that are mobile. We have three quarterbacks that Milton can be 4th-and-1 in the red zone. We have a young boy that's going to be a superstar for the next 4 or 5 years. But
right.
we also have Jacoby Brissett that is a experienced quarterback.
What's the point, Paul?
No, the point is this. Why do you want to expose in this division? Remember this. In this division, why do you want to expose this young kid? And every show I see that you guys come on, you're always asking Drake May. Why? There's no need for that. You're not a good team as far as your division. There's no need to expose this kid.
All right, thanks for the call, Paul. No need to expose him to what exactly? They won their first game. They're, a lot of people are picking them in this, not the sharp bettors, but a lot of people are picking them in this game against Seattle. A lot of
they're
people
on their way to 3-0.
Certainly are. Yeah, they're about to be 3-0 according to this hypothetical that I was trying, the argument I was trying to make. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's not about exposing them to anything. It's about who gives you a better chance to win. And I think at some point they're going to have to decide with the reps and everything else. Like, it's nice to bring a young quarterback along, and it's nice to do that sort of behind the scenes, in the wings, whatever you want to do. But if this season becomes a serious season, then they're going to have to pick one side or the other. I don't think they can do this all year unless they decide to go to Drake May. And if they do, that'll be good. But I don't know that that's necessarily the direction that this is all going towards right now. We'll
see.
So
you hate the plan?
I don't know. I don't know about the plan. I think the plan will be if they go to May and they start, you know, going back to where we think they're going to be and what we predicted they would be at the beginning of the year, which is a lottery team that wins only a handful of games, and that starts to become the weekly thing, then yeah, I think that this plan will be working out fine. But already it seems like people are veering off of that, and people are expecting more from them.
Yeah, but they won one game.
I know.
Like, let's not – and they didn't exactly blow doors. Correct?
No.
That was a very losable game.
It was definitely a losable. They were one nice throw away from probably losing that game on Joe Burrow's part. But the point is, they didn't get that. So, you know, here
no,
we are.
But I'm just saying, like, I like the plan because I think Jacoby Brissett is an experienced veteran quarterback who has limited upside. I think you have limitations in the passing game. You could give him 10,000 reps over the course of the week, and he's still limited. He's still Jacoby Brissett. He's still not going to make a ton of plays through the air. He's still not going to be 400 yards passing. So I don't believe he's hindered all that much by losing a few snaps on the practice field. The risk is very much worth the reward of developing Drake May sooner and better. And if they keep winning, then Jacoby Brissett earns the opportunity to keep playing, right?
Right.
Unless they go down the Dolphins road. Because wasn't Fitzpatrick winning when they put Tua in?
They were 3-3 when Tua first made it.
That sounds about right.
But I think
and then
they won the game.
Tua and put Fitzpatrick back in anyway. So yeah, I mean,
But I think they won the game right before they put him in. I need to go back and check that. I think
that sounds right, but I don't totally remember that either. Anyway, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll continue with your Patriots related phone calls. Brian Frazoco is going to tell you what's trending, and when we come back, we'll take a good long look at the Seattle Seahawks in this week's edition of the Scouting Report. That's coming up right after trending.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pretty good couple of weeks for your Buffalo Bills. A nice comeback against Arizona. Big game there. Big win there and a big win last night in primetime, Amazon primetime, I should say, as they smoked the Dolphins 31-10. That was one of Tua's two interceptions that he threw out, three interceptions, actually, that he had in the game. One of them, the pick six that you just heard right there. Before he got injured, he only had 145 yards passing with a touchdown and the three picks. Achan did most of the work, seven catches, 69 yards, nice, and a touchdown. Also, 22 carries, 96 yards on the ground for him. But really, this was all about Buffalo. It was all about James Cook, who had a monster game running. Really, Josh Allen didn't have to do all that much. He had only 19 passing attempts and one touchdown. Not really a super big game for him by any means, but with Cook out there and his weapons at his disposal and also great field position from a lot of those turnovers, it was a easy win for a Buffalo team that I was not expecting to have a big start like this. I thought it was going to be tough going for them with all the losses that they incurred on offense and on defense. Andy, I'm surprised to see them riding so high.
This is what Josh Allen does. I know people like to sort of poke holes in him and what he is and the turnovers and different things, but he has become a guy that finds a way to win for his Bills. He, as Brian told us yesterday, now 7-0, I believe, on Thursday nights.
Yep, 7-0.
And is now, I believe, 11-1 in his last 12, or maybe 12-1 in his last 13 against Miami. They own the Dolphins. The Bills absolutely own the Dolphins.
I know Tua is now 1-7 against Buffalo. So
yeah,
I can tell you.
So
that.
Josh Allen owns the Dolphins, and you put a couple wins on the board in the division. That's one right there for him early in the year. You know, that could go a long way towards doing things on the back end. That's why I think this was a big game for both teams before we even knew to his health and there was going to be concerns about what they were doing moving forward. And, you know, Buffalo, the more games they can win when Josh Allen doesn't really have to do much, mm-hmm. the better off they are. Because there will be the days like Arizona where it's going to have, well, probably going to need you to throw for two, maybe run for two. You might get the snot kicked out of you. This was a game where they didn't need that. And that's good because I think there's still a work in progress. He's clearly, did you see some of those clips making the rounds on the sideline with him and Keon Coleman?
Yes.
And I think Coleman had no targets. And clearly Josh Allen hasn't quite hit stride with him yet. I do think Shakir.
Coleman was targeted once but didn't make the catch. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's tough when teams just keep triple-teaming Dalton Kincaid.
It's crazy. I mean,
what do you do then?
It's crazy.
He caught all four targets despite being triple-teamed. That was amazing. Yeah. But, yeah, it was
Gronk-like performance. Triple coverage and still coming through. So
it really was.
That's good for him, yeah.
Yeah, and certainly better than you can say about the Miami offense, who I think struggled mightily against Buffalo's defense. That's a good secondary they have there with Douglas and up front, you know, Russo and Oliver and the rest of the guy, Von Miller. I mean, they still have a pretty good defense despite losing a lot of guys in the secondary, to be sure. Poyer and Micah Hyde and all those guys. I mean, those were tough losses to have, but it hasn't really slowed them down yet at all. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Any other games on the slate this weekend that you're looking at in terms of like what it means for the AFC? Because it seems like there's a lot of mismatches this week. It seems like there's a lot of games where you can take those points.
I've heard people saying, kind of like you, just jumping into like conclusions. You know, if the Patriots could go 3-0, because if the Jets go to Tennessee and lose to Tennessee, well, I don't expect the Jets to go to Tennessee and lose to Tennessee.
They are favored. So, they're 3.5-point road favorites. So yeah.
And Will Levis looked terrible. He looked like a moron. Mm-hmm. He did
dumb things.
So he could he may be an awful quarterback. And I expect the Jets to go. I don't think people understand that the Jets went to San Francisco and played what might be the best team in football. Right?
Absolutely.
Is that a stretch to say they're the best team in football? Because I don't think it is.
I don't think it's a stretch at all. I think like front to back in the entire roster, I'd say they're the most talented roster in the NFL, more than the Chiefs, definitely.
Right. Doesn't mean I'd pick them over the Chiefs.
I wouldn't
either. Chiefs have the wild card, and his name is Patrick Mahomes. But they went on the road against the best team in football. I feel like it's going to be a little different when they're playing, I don't know, a Titans team that just fired their coach that has Will Levis, the mayonnaise man, as the freaking quarterback. I feel like it might go a little different. So I'm interested in that. Now, if these people are right and Aaron Rodgers and company go to Tennessee and lose to Tennessee, well, then all bets are off. I don't know what the hell is going to go on in New York. I just don't expect that to happen. So I will be watching that game and expecting when, because that's a 1 o'clock. Yeah. I'll be expecting to see that say, like, you know, Jets 17-0 over Tennessee early.
Yeah. All right. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Joe and Melrose before we get to our Seahawks scouting report. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. I think last night's game between the Bills and Dolphins has huge implications for the Patriots. Not only should the Patriots now beat the Dolphins twice, but I think it makes Drake May start week five against the Dolphins at home the ideal place. I mean, I think Jacoby Brissett's going to struggle against the 49ers in week four, and it just seems like the perfect time to transition. If Jacoby Brissett does beat the 49ers, fine, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I think Jacoby Brissett's got to realize he's kind of Crash Davis from Bull Durham.
I mean, yeah, could be. Do you consider these Dolphins game without Tua, no matter who they – I mean, we're assuming it's not going to be Tom Brady. But let's say it's Mac Jones or Skylar Thompson. Are both of those Dolphins games now games you would consider the Patriots favorites in?
No.
I wouldn't.
Not at all.
I wouldn't. They have trouble with the Dolphins no matter who the quarterback is. They had trouble with Cleo Lemon 1 year when Tom Brady was here.
And they're still probably the more all-around talented football team.
Yeah.
Right? So – no, I absolutely don't make those layups. I will say that does add a layer to my, you know, all along I've circled that Dolphins game week five as the potential Drake May first start.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going up against Skylar Thompson and he's not even going up against Tua. Not that that is a huge factor, but does it make that game a little bit more winnable? Absolutely. I don't give it to the Patriots, but it makes it a more winnable football game. Makes even more sense to week five, my original idea.
It certainly would. Again. And the Drake May versus Mac Jones matchup, if that were to come to fruition, would be.
Mac Jones still plays for the Jags.
Ratings bonanza. I'm saying by week five, maybe he won't be. I mean, when do you think they're going to address the quarterback situation? They're going to wait 2 more weeks.
So you have the Patriots at 3-0.
Yes.
You have Jacoby Brissett taking over all the reps in practice because they're so good, and screw Drake May, we're not developing.
Andy, honestly, do you not understand what a hypothetical is? Like, does that go over your head, like most things? Like, is that honestly?
You're the guy who couldn't understand if we redshirted all quarterbacks, so I think we both
understood that very well. I thought that didn't make much sense, hypothetically or in real time.
No, you didn't understand it because you kept asking dumb questions.
I did not ask dumb. It was a dumb premise, I thought. But either way, this is a very high. I did not have any of that. It was a hypothetical conversation we were having.
You said you just rolled right into it, looking past this week against Seattle, mm-hmm. and then even just giving that game to them against the Jets.
Yes, because the conversation's not about Seattle or even really the Jets. The conversation was about Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett throws for 600 yards in each of the next two games and they go 3-0, he'll probably get more reps in practice because they'll probably realize they have the second coming of Tom Brady. We can play all the hypothetical games we want, but there's no shot in hell of it happening, so I don't know why we would.
Okay, and there's a real big shot of everybody getting redshirted in the NFL then, right? So let's keep that one going.
The way quarterbacks are falling by the wayside and being wasted, it becomes a smarter idea by the day.
Okay, let's see what
Caleb stinks.
Let's see when it gets
Daniels
implemented
stinks.
Then. If
Will Levis
Mr. Hypothetical
stinks.
Over here.
Malik, what's his name? Malik Willis is starting for the Packers. He's already a bust in one place. First and second round quarterbacks are falling by the wayside left and right. Yes, it's becoming more plausible by the day that these idiot owners should sit down and figure out how to...
And waste a year of eligibility on the contracts.
Sure.
That makes
what does
sense.
It matter if we're all wasting it?
They're not going to want to waste
it's
it,
all
is the
equal.
Point. They're not going to want to waste a year of the eligibility. That's
Who
why
said
it doesn't
it's
make
wasted?
Sense.
Who said it's wasted?
It's wasted because they don't play. It's a redshirt year. It's your
It's not wasted
it's
if you don't break them. It's not wasted if you don't ruin the quarterbacks
it's
and lose
It's wasted if
them.
They don't play, Andy.
It is not.
Yes, it is. How can
if
you say
everybody's,
it's not?
If everybody's moving forward at the same rate, it's not wasted. You're not losing anything.
Just because they're all wasting the year doesn't mean that they're not wasting the year. They're all doing it. They'd all be wasting a year off the contract. Yes.
No, they're all learning and getting better and improving the
Either way, you like hypothetical. Don't act like you don't understand hypotheticals.
I love hypotheticals.
I know you do.
Just
you
not
absolutely
ones that make
do.
No sense.
Well, let's get to one right now, which is not hypothetical. This is the Seattle Seahawks, and this is this week's scouting report. All right. Seattle Seahawks coming across the country. Much has been made about this, Andy. They're coming across the country to play on the East Coast. They're getting in at 5 a.m. There's no way any team could ever get up early and win a football game later on in the afternoon is what people are saying. But last week, they had a very unimpressive win, I'd say, over Denver. It was Bo Nix's debut. Didn't have a lead in that game until 10:44 in the third quarter. They got hit with two safeties in one quarter, which I've never seen before. They did mostly dominate the second half. But what was the main takeaway you had from the Seahawks in their week one win over Bo Nix and the Broncos?
Well, I think it's Kenneth Walker. And if he can run the ball the way he did, they probably will have a chance to win some football games. The mirror image thing, the Spider-Man meme as Fitzy put out, that whole thing is very realistic. And, you know, my takeaway is this is your butterfly mirror image enemy. Because you want to do what they want to do and they want to do what you want to do. And unless somebody comes out and goes, you know what? You know what we could do here? Rope-a-dope them. Why don't we just chuck it deep five straight times? They could probably do that, too, because they're better suited to do that with the freak that is DK.
Yeah, probably. I think the Patriots win was much more impressive than the Seattle win. It was two rookie coaches. But if you're looking at who the opponents were, it's not even close. I mean, the Seahawks were expected to still be a, you know, around 500 team. Patriots are not expected to be anything. And they beat a team that's expected to be good this year. So I'd say last week went better for the Patriots, but it's still both teams 1-0. The offseason that the Seahawks had. Brand new coach. Let's start right there. The Pete Carroll era, very long era in both professional and college sports, runs its course. All the old guys get kicked to the curb, and they bring in the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator. And so far, it seems like they have a new philosophy. It seems like the Seahawks are in a similar position, as you just said, to mirror image almost to the Patriots with a new head coach.
And this is an interesting young head coach who also coached for Harbaugh, the other Harbaugh,
both
at
Harbaughs,
Michigan.
Yeah.
So has a tie into young players, and I think that's part of why he probably has a job, similar to part of why Gerard Mayo has a job, modern players, modern world, and trying to break free from the aged ways of Pete Carroll. Not that they weren't successful, but it had its run, probably was about time to run its course, and it did. McDonald is well-respected in terms of what he did in Baltimore with the talent and the scheme, and if he can do that, it's also two coaches that replace legendary defensive minds with legendary potential defensive minds, and screw the offense that everybody else wants.
Yes, it's pretty dead on, I'd say. Not a big offseason for this team. They lost Bobby Wagner, who's very old. They signed a bunch of offensive linemen, guys like George Fant, Lakin Tomlinson, mostly depth guys, I would say. Their 16th overall pick in the draft was defensive end Byron Murphy out of Texas. He's kind of a rotation guy, had a couple of tackles against Denver, but they do have a pretty good front of guys there, Leonard Williams and a couple other guys up there at the front who are good at getting after the quarterback, and with a new defensive mindset here, a guy from the Ravens, who the Ravens defense was about as good as it gets in the league last season, it seems like they're getting maybe more out of their defensive front than old Pete the Poodle was getting.
Well, I mean, and that's what you're looking for. Leonard Williams is a dominant physical athlete beast defensive front.
Yeah, he's only ever had one good year, but he did have one. Right. You know, he's expected much more out of him over his career, I'd say.
That is exactly what he is. Yeah. Like, I still think of him as great, even though he's not great, just because he has the pure ability to be great, I believe. But you never know what he's going to become under a new coach with a new scheme and sort of a new mentality. They have a good secondary. The Witherspoon kid is a unique force in the back end that everybody fell in love with in the draft, and he's a hitter and all that. So my guess is they want to be a defensive-minded team with a defensive head coach, not necessarily the Legion of Boom and do it the same way, but I think they want to be a physical environment in Seattle, and that's a great home field advantage. And if you play defense and you have a little bit of that Raven spirit, because the Ravens have been good for
yeah.
Like, they played, and Gerard mentioned that, you know, the comparison, that's what they want to be, tough, physical, hard nose, whatever. I do find it interesting that both these teams, I think, want to be that still.
Yeah, certainly seems that way. Not a lot of offseason drama with this team outside of the coaching switch. It seemed like the McDonald move was very widely praised. Like, I didn't hear a lot of kickback. Like, oh, they should have gone after Bill Belichick or something like that. You didn't hear a lot of that with this. It
right.
seemed like the Seahawks, first of all, they're moving on from an old guy, so they're not going to hire another one. But it seemed like everybody was pretty much on board with this hire, despite the fact that it's a defensive coach in an offensive era of the NFL. I think that was very different maybe from the reaction nationally to someone like Gerard Mayo, for instance.
Yeah, definitely a different reaction. Not quite as much spotlight and not as much drama and just a lot more New England. But you just made me think, where's Pete Carroll?
Yeah, I haven't heard much of him.
He doesn't
have a million media jobs. He's just chilling wherever he is. Yeah.
I don't know that I've seen him since he had that weird press conference where he almost didn't acknowledge that he was fired and
right.
then kind of said he still wanted to coach and he might still like, there was a weird dynamic. And I don't know that I've seen him since. Is he doing media? Is he consulting anywhere? Is he, like, I literally have not seen Pete Carroll. Is he alive? Did he die and we didn't even know it? Did they shoot him into space?
I feel like that would have hit the ticker at some point.
I feel like it would have.
Right? I don't know. But, yeah, you don't see much. You don't see really too much about Pete Carroll going on. Certainly doesn't have a million media jobs like Bill Belichick.
And he's got more personality, more energy.
That's
right?
True. Like,
in theory, I know he doesn't have the resume, But he's a national championship winning coach.
He's got much more
coach.
Personality than Bill
right.
Belichick. That,
shouldn't
no
he
question.
Be doing media somewhere? Or you shouldn't he think. Be doing something?
Yeah, you would think so. Players to watch. Anybody on your radar? There's the trio of wide receivers. They got a good trio of cornerbacks, too. You mentioned Leonard Williams. Who's who you got your eyes peeled for?
Definitely Witherspoon, just because this will sort of be my first time to see him in the NFL. I liked him coming out. I wasn't quite as high, honestly, as most people were on him. And so I want to see what he looks like up close and personal in an actual game. Watch him for 60 minutes. And then DK Metcalf, he's a freak. He is just a one-of-one kind of guy that I will be interested to see how they use Christian Gonzalez in this game. Do they match him up with Metcalf? Do they, because they go three deep, sort of, although Smith and Jigba has been a disappointment
so far,
out there.
Yeah.
And I know he tried to blame it on my boy Shane Waldron, but maybe it's just you. Maybe you suck. Maybe you're not as good as you thought you were coming out of Ohio State. But do the Patriots put Gonzalez just on one side? Does he match up with anybody? How do they use him against those receivers?
Yeah, it's a good question. All right, let's get to the final part of the scouting report here, and that is current and former Patriots, or former Patriots, I should say, who are on this team. There's only one. There's only one former Patriot currently on the Seattle Seahawks roster. You know who it is?
Pharaoh Brown, and he's injured.
That's correct.
He missed some practice time.
Pharaoh Brown, the tight end, who had one of the only touchdown passes that Mac Jones ever threw, it seemed like, the only play that ever worked. And he is now a Seattle Seahawk, but probably won't play this weekend. Who are the best all-time Patriots/Seattle Seahawks played for both teams? I can think of a handful that I would put on that team. But you got any?
So one has to be a former coworker of ours, Christian Fourier.
Christian Fourier, absolutely. He's your starting tight end on this team.
One of your starting wide receivers would have to be Deion Branch.
Yeah, Deion Branch.
I know he wasn't great in Seattle, but he was still good, and I believe was responsible for injecting that weird fluorescent green into their color scheme. He got gloves made, and I think the team liked it so much that they started using it.
Really? I didn't know that.
I believe that's the urban legend.
It's a nice little piece of trivia. There was also Alan Branch. Alan Branch played for the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. Big old
Nice DT. Brandon Browner, who ended up having some trouble after his career ended, but he had a great, won Super Bowls with both teams, the Patriots and the Seahawks. There's one quarterback in NFL history that played for both the Patriots and for the Seattle Seahawks. I'll give you a chance to guess this, but I doubt you're going to get it.
I got nothing.
John Freeze, who was ahead of Brady in the 2001 depth chart on the Patriots, played for the Seattle Seahawks back in early 90s, 95 to 1998. There's also Lawyer Malloy, who'd be my starting safety, and a couple other guys there as well.
Yep.
But there you go. There is your Seattle Seahawks scouting report here, courtesy of your friends, Host 1 and Host 2, on WEEI Afternoon. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Ken Rosenthal has a plan to fix the Red Sox. We'll get to it next. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's Christian Arcan, Andy Hart here on a Patriots Friday, taking a quick Patriots breather here as Ken Rosenthal over at The Athletic has a plan. A plan for the Red Sox. And I think that we both sort of agree that this season's circling the toilet right now, barring some kind of minor miracle. It's basically over here. That was a tough loss last night. And even with a win last night, it's still going to be a tough road to climb here. But anyway, here's Rosenthal's plan. Rosenthal has a whole offseason plan for this team that I think is... I personally like it. I don't know that it's going to happen, but I do think that there's some good meat to this. Anyway...
When was this posted? Because you know what this felt like?
What?
A response to, I believe, the discussion we had yesterday when we were kind of moving pieces around. And we're like, there's kind of they need talent, but there's also a kind of a weird logjam.
Yeah.
I feel like we were the impetus for this story.
I think so. I think Ken Rosenthal owes us a tremendous amount of credit for this. And here's what he says. Here's how he opens. Picture Alex Bregman playing third base for the Boston Red Sox next season. Wait, what about Rafael Devers? Move him to first. What about Tristan Cassis? Trade him for a starting pitcher of comparable ability and service, maybe one from the Seattle Mariners. Sounds like a lot, but as currently constituted, the Red Sox position player group is too young and too left-handed, and it will get even younger and more left-handed if the team in 2025 starts incorporating their three top prospects, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and catcher Kyle Teal. A roster with too many good young left-handed hitters is admittedly a first-world baseball problem, but playing at Fenway with the Green Monster and blah, 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 the Red Sox last World Series in 2018 featured right-handed Might, Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, J.D. Martinez, 2013, Pedroia, Napoli, Johnny Gomes, okay? And the 2024 team lacks right-handed thump aside from Tyler O'Neill, who hit his 30 home runs. Enter Bregman, or Willy Adames, a shortstop who can move to third. Both are scheduled to hit the open market this season. Story will play next year at 32. He can move to second once Meyer is ready, unless another top prospect, right-handed hitting Christian Campbell, claims the position first, which at this point seems likely. Meyer's season ended with a lumbar strain. Again, a surplus of quality players is a good problem to have, but the Red Sox are in a position not unlike where the Orioles were a year ago, sitting on many young position players that they cannot fit into a 26-man roster. What do you think of this, first of all? The idea of trading Tristan Casas, which I think is probably the most, as far as Red Sox fans reading this are concerned, the most onerous part of this, I would say, is people love Tristan Casas, even though he was hurt this year, and signing Bregman and moving Devers over to first base. Where do you stand on that, Andy Hart?
I don't hate the idea. I think somebody's got to go. We had a caller bring up whether it's Duran, Casas. It feels like somebody that fans have grown a liking for or an attachment to probably has to go. And probably signing a guy like Bregman and trading for a pitcher is probably the most cost-effective way to kind of go about the plan. Because everybody seems to agree they need right-handed pop and they need a top-of-the-rotation pitcher or potential top-of-the-rotation pitcher. And top-of-the-rotation pitchers cost a lot of money in free agency.
And would cost more than Tristan Casas, I think, just straight up. I think you'd have to add more than him to get one of those guys from Seattle.
I actually don't want, what did he say, of equal talent or something said? I want somebody better. Tristan Casas missed most of the year. That's part of the story. I'm not sold that Tristan Casas is an elite major league hitter just because he was really good down the stretch a year and a half ago, or a year ago, basically. I want a pitcher that I can count on as really, truly top of the rotation, that he's been there, he's done that. Now, I know you might say, okay, young guy that's going to develop and turn into that. Yeah, that could work. But I think this is the most cost-effective way to do it, because I think the better the pitcher, the more it costs.
Yeah.
Whereas Bregman, I don't think you're going to break the bank for a 31-year-old power-hitting third baseman.
No, he'll cost money. I mean, he'll cost money like Trevor Story costs money, I think.
Sure.
Maybe a little more
just
than
like
that, but yeah.
Yoshida costs money.
I'd trade, but yeah.
Yeah. Who are you going to trade him to?
Good question.
Trade for him?
You're not going to get much back for him, but at least it clears up the logjam a little
bit.
What
if we call backseas with the Braves and say, we want Chris Sale back and we'll give you Yoshida?
I think they'd probably say no. By the way, the Seattle Mariners starters, Logan Gilbert's 27, George Kirby's 26, Bryce Miller's 25, Brian Wu's 24. So you got, you know, guys there who are all in their prime, some even a little earlier than that. If that's what you're looking for.
George Kirby for Tristan Casas.
No, it's going to take Tristan Casas probably like two or three prospects, maybe even another major league ready guy. Like an Abreu or something like that. That's probably what you're talking about. I think I'd do that too. I think George Kirby would come in here and be immediately your number one guy.
Yes.
I think that the rest of your rotation, you can fill in around that if you want to keep it. Pavetta's probably gone, so you're going to have to replace him. But I think in general, that's what I'm looking for. That's the kind of splashy move I'm looking to make. Yeah. And I think in general, that's the kind of move that has led to this team, this Red Sox organization, historically taking that next step to being a championship level team.
And isn't this why you built up the system? Not just to fill your major league roster, but to have these opportunities to fill it out, because pitching is going to be an issue. Filling out the pitching staff is an issue. And if you have a logjam, I mean, this is classic trade, right? You have too many of this, but not enough of that. I don't have enough of that, and I have plenty of this. Let's do a deal. George Kirby, he's my guy, right, that has the only pitcher in baseball history with more games pitched than walks. Isn't that his claim to fame?
Is that right? That sounds right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So.
He's not many walks this year, that's for sure.
No.
But yeah, he's been tremendous this year. And they have a tremendous pitching staff, Seattle, for a team that's looking to bust through themselves. I mean, they got the staff in place, and they probably could use some power bats outside of their catcher. They don't really have much. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We can continue with this Red Sox conversation. However, we're going to reset on what we saw last night in Thursday Night Football, the Miami Dolphins losing their quarterback, what this means for Tua Tagovailoa in the future, what it means for the AFC East, and what are the Dolphins going to do to try and replace him, or are they even going to? That's all coming your way right after this.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
the
bathroom?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with MyBlinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.